I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What?
New thing, Jim. A television.
Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed, forsaken.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Yeah. He doesn't care, but you know that I do. I care so deeply about who you are. Because I'm Chris T, and this is my program, Aerial View. And this is my radio station. Well, not mine, but, you know, I reside here. WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange. It's a little bit after 6 on this wet, cold November evening, a Friday. That was a very significant day in history. And I'm wondering if anybody out there knows what took place on this day in history. I'm wondering how aware you are of your American history. If you think you know what happened on this day in history, call me at 201-678-7743 and we'll have a little history quiz here. And then later on, based on whether or not you're able to answer the question of what happened on this day in history, we will delve further into the topic, but you must first answer the question. We will go no further. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. You're listening to Aerial View on WFMU. I think we have a phone caller here. Hello, welcome to the air.
Did they invent the condom?
No. You're welcome to try back later on if you'd like. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, was it the Salem witchcraft trials?
No.
Oh, too bad.
Did that happen on this day in history?
Well, I know they burned a bunch of witches, but I think it was sometime in November. You know, the witchcraft trials in 1693.
There's something that happened on this day, November 19th, in history, American history.
Hmm.
It doesn't go back that
recent
far.
Recent history.
No, not recent history either.
Hmm.
Try again.
Thanks.
201-678-7743 is the phone number here. Would you like to take a shot at this?
Wasn't it the Jim Jones thing happening?
The Jim Jones Guyana massacre.
Guyana massacre, is it?
That happened on this day in history, but that's not what I was referring to.
Oh, okay.
That did happen on this day in history, though.
Oh, well.
So you know some of your American history.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Yes, Jonestown Massacre. That's right. My show is about the Jonestown Massacre. No,
is that,
it's not.
Is it the persecution of that comedian Billy Crystal Knocked?
That's right. That happened on this day in history.
That's
the Night of Long Knives.
I know it was one of them holidays.
Thank you.
All right.
Billy Crystal Knocked. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi,
Chris. I remember I said Martha. I said American history, Martha.
Okay. 68 years ago, the vats of hell opened, and Mama Betty was born.
Your mother, Betty?
Yeah.
Wow. I take it you don't have a very good relationship with your mother.
She doesn't like me.
Martha, I don't know why.
I don't know either. I'm sweet.
You know that we love you here.
I know. That's why I bug you.
Okay, thanks, Martha.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That explains Martha. I think as we begin to know Martha and we get glimpses into Martha's life, we come to an understanding of Martha. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. Martha's one of my favorite events on this show every week.
Really?
Really.
Don't encourage Martha.
Sorry. Did it happen in the 1960s?
No.
No.
But you tell me what you think it was, and maybe it was an interesting thing.
The day that Kennedy got shot.
Oh, no. That's November 22nd.
Okay.
That's on Monday.
Oh, well.
Can't you tell with all the TV shows that'll be on Monday?
No, I don't watch TV.
No, we did a Kennedy show last year because it came much closer to the 22nd, but that was our special Who Shot Kennedy show.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
No.
Okay, right. Well, I should have repeated the program. Thanks for calling. It was an excellent program. We had Andy Breckman on as our guest, and he offered his opinion of the whole thing, which was basically what that guy who wrote Case Closed offers as his opinion, which is that Oswald acted alone. Hello, welcome to the air.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I know the answer, I think.
Well, you're going to
you're
going to just have to give it a shot, and we'll hold our breath, and, you know, maybe you'll be right.
I think you're talking about the Gettysburg Address. Lincoln.
Yes, you are right. On this day in history. Now, sir, do you know what year that was?
1863.
I think you're right about that, too.
Yeah, no, you know why? Because today's my birthday.
Now, do you have a copy of the Gettysburg Address in the house?
Yeah, in a paper bag somewhere.
I want someone who's got a copy of the Gettysburg Address...
No, I don't actually have it.
...to call us up and read it on the air. I want several people who have a copy. If you are at home right now and you have a reference library and you think you have a copy of the Gettysburg Address on hand, you are welcome to call and read us that historic document. But thanks for guessing, sir. What is your name?
My name's Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Bye. You want to read us the Gettysburg Address?
No, I want to see how many people in the audience know it.
I would like for somebody to call up and get us started, and then maybe we could have people fill in the lines as we
All
go.
Right.
What do you think of that idea?
67 years ago,
okay,
our forefathers brought upon this continent a new nation dedicated, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
Okay.
That's as far as I can go.
Okay, so you want to stop there, and then we'll see if anybody else can continue.
Okay, gang, let's go.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Sure.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris, how are you?
Okay.
Okay, I have a couple versions here from my encyclopedia.
Oh, you're going to read it now. See, now we're trying to get people to call up who... are recalling it from memory.
Oh, I thought you want someone to read it.
Well, we want that too, but why don't you hold for the next 10 minutes and we'll see who calls up and who can correctly give us parts of the Gettysburg Address. But you can stay there.
Why don't I give you a call back if you
That's
need
great,
it.
But you'll be listening and you'll know if people are wrong or right.
Okay.
You're taking an active part in our program today.
I see.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
I bet the weather was exactly like this, too. Hello, welcome to the air.
Our forefathers bamfed. Hi.
forefathers danced. Is that what he said? 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. We're discussing something very powerful that happened on this day in history, American history, November 19th. Our great president, Abraham Lincoln, gave perhaps one of the greatest political speeches of all time. The Gettysburg Address. It's very brief and very powerful. Hello, welcome to the air.
I just wanted to say you sound like the Grease Man with that music in the background.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks for pointing that out. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. And we need you to call up and continue the Gettysburg Address. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, guys. Bam!
You know, if you're not going to at least say something, who needs you? That's what I say. Well, apparently people don't know the Gettysburg Address. That's too bad. I would like that gentleman who's got a copy of it to call us back. And we'll have a dramatic reading here on the air. How's that? The phone number, in case you've forgotten, is 201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. Okay. I called up before. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yes.
Okay. There are two versions here. I'll read the one that the... Well, I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, really.
What do you mean, two versions? How could there be two versions of the Gettysburg Address?
Okay, I'll read to you what it says here. Two versions of the Gettysburg Address. Lincoln wrote five different versions of his famous Gettysburg Address. He held the second version, left below, in his hand while he spoke at Gettysburg. The fifth version, right below, perhaps represents exactly as can be known the speech he gave. So I guess the one... Okay, I think I know which one... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're probably
similar. Just give it a try.
Okay. 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any other nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that nation might live. Gave their lives that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they give the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
I don't think Abraham Lincoln could have done a better job. I don't think he did a better job.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
teacher hit me with a ruler. How did that go? I don't know. But a very significant day in U.S. history, and I'm glad that somebody out there knew what it was. I thought we were going to go through a whole program. As a matter of fact, I was hoping we would go through a whole program without anybody knowing that today was the day, the anniversary of the Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Was it 130 years ago? And, you know, it was a different world 130 years ago. And it'll be a different world 130 years from now. But here we are in the present. Hello, welcome to the air.
The ruler turned red and the teacher dropped dead, and that was the end of school.
All right, that's how it goes. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
So here we are in the present, neither living 130 years back or 130 years hence, but right here, right now. So let's seize the moment. Let me get this call first. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, I have another version of that song.
Okay, you want to sing it as long as it's not dirty?
Yeah, I swear to God, clean as Boy Scouts. Okay, well, my teacher hit me with a ruler. She knocked on the door with an M64, and she's not teaching anymore. What do you think? Hello?
I loved it.
You did?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Knocked on the door with an M64, and she's not teaching anymore. Maybe there's like lots of regional versions of that out there. Who knows? Hello, welcome to the air.
I popped her on the beanie with a rotten tangerine. Oops, sorry, I'm feeding back.
Oh, man. I bopped her on the beanie with a rotten tangerine. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, is the Pooh there?
Yes. Can you hold, please?
Okay, hold on.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Why don't you just play this all night long?
Would you like to hear it?
Excerpts from the Civil War series. That was a good one.
You got it, sir.
Thank you.
That's what we're going to do.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. We now preempt this program to present a program of Civil War era music. How would you like that, ladies and gentlemen? No, I can't do that because I have an idea, and I want you to help me with it. I want you to pretend for a few minutes that we are in Hollywood, and we're in a Hollywood think tank, which means a hot tub, and we're trying to come up with ideas, you and I, for a new sitcom. And someone, meaning me, says, hey, I got a great idea. What about a sitcom set during the Civil War? And then one of you out there goes, yeah, a sitcom set during the Civil War. It's never been done. And then it's up to us and our little think tank buddies to fill in the blanks, meaning, who would be in this sitcom? Who would the characters be? Where would it be set? And what would the pilot episode be? And so we are going to assemble a sitcom on Aerial View today. A sitcom that we could be proud of. A new, different sitcom that's not so different it doesn't remind us of something else. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that is the secret of success. To be new, but not so new that you don't remind people of somebody else. Or something else, for that matter. So, friends in my hot tub think tank, help me here. Welcome to the air.
Hi, I got a great idea for the Civil War sitcom.
Okay.
You could kind of have a mix between Abraham Lincoln and I Love Lucy. Like, Lincoln come in, go like, Merry Todd, I'm home. And it could be like, you know, is that a good idea?
No, I don't like that idea. But I'll tell you, I like the idea of getting Abraham Lincoln into the sitcom somehow.
Really? Yeah, it could have like the spot next to Seinfeld, you know, sandwiched in between wings.
And the great thing about producing this sitcom is it wouldn't cost much because of all those guys around the country who do those Civil War reenactments.
Yeah.
You could get them for dirt. Mm-hmm. You buy them a new outfit or something.
Definitely.
Thanks for calling.
No problem.
And joining our think tank. Hello, Hollywood Hot Tub Think Tank. Welcome to the air.
You gotta set it in Andersonville Prison.
Why Andersonville Prison?
Well, have you ever read the Andersonville Diaries? It's definitely one of the highlights of Civil War literature.
I know.
I think you can have kind of like a Hogan's Heroes kind of approach to it, you know? Like instead of Colonel Klink, you got like a Buddy Ebsen for like the Commandant guy.
Okay, so it would be like Northern soldiers locked up in the South?
Right, Andersonville Prison, right.
Okay,
it's an actual historical setting.
What state was Andersonville in?
I believe it was in Georgia. It was the one, you know, it was the one where like there were 20,000 prisoners and they all died.
Oh, really?
Like maybe 500 of them lived through it.
Okay.
I don't know the exact figure.
So you'd like to see
brutal. It was our Auschwitz.
You'd like to see a bungling Buddy Ebsen
like. Well, like a Hogan's Heroes set in Andersonville with Buddy Ebsen as the Commandant, as the Colonel Klink type character. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
You're not with me on this.
Yeah, I got you. We're writing it down. We're adding it to the list of characters.
Well, there's your setting. I think you got to have a spot for Larry Storch.
Okay, bring Larry Storch back.
Got to bring. Well, pick him off the unemployment line.
Okay.
And you know.
We're assembling the pieces. I'm writing. I'm trying to get all of this down. So you like Andersonville as the setting. Do you ever see the show like venturing outside of Andersonville? I mean, you know, like how they would visit the Cowie Indians.
Yeah, just like Hogan's Heroes, they can put on a show. You know, they can escape. They can.
Okay.
You know, all kinds of plot possibilities right there in the prison. Camp, pardon me. Get the nice outdoor setting.
You think you can get Buddy Ebsen signed up to this thing?
How much money you got?
Well, we'll have to see. All right, we need a title for this sitcom. We need a catchy, funny Civil War title.
Well, I'll have to sit down and think on that.
Okay, thanks for calling, though.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello, welcome to the air.
Ted Dancer and Whoopi Goldberg.
So he would like to see Ted Danson and Whoopi Goldberg in this thing. Feel free to call with any suggestions. I mean, in terms of who you'd like to see on the pilot. Keeping in mind that those on the pilot will probably be kicked off in time for the first show. You know, those guys from the pilot of Star Trek never made it. But anyway, we have Buddy Ebsen, Larry Storch, Ted Danson, and Whoopi Goldberg as suggested cast members. We need a plot line. We have a setting, Andersonville Prison. And what are you calling to add to our Hollywood Hot Tub Think Tank?
Okay, so they're at the prison, and Ted Danson wears his blackface.
Okay.
And Whoopi Goldberg's getting all hot. And up comes in Macaulay Culkin.
You're not going to get Macaulay Culkin for this thing, I'm sorry.
Well, then he comes
You'll
in.
You'll get one of the Culkin kids.
Hmm?
What's a kid doing in Andersonville Prison?
Well, I mean...
Get out of my hot tub. Get out of my hot tub. Hello, welcome to the air.
How about Tom Waits as a traitor?
Tom Waits as a... What kind of traitor? Do you mean traitor... Fur traitor? What are you talking about? He didn't elaborate. Did he say T-R-A-I-T-O-R or T-A-D-E-R? The phone number here is 201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
This is Mike from Hoboken.
Hi, Mike.
Now up in Denville.
Right.
What are you going to do this year for Thanksgiving? Don't you always go up to your old man's for Thanksgiving?
No, I've never been to my old man's for Thanksgiving, except once.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
What's it to you, Mike?
Well, I'll be able to sleep tonight.
You'll be able to sleep tonight?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm having turkey. How's that? Mike, what are you doing? That's what's more important.
I'm eating vegetarian food.
You would. Do you want to add anything to our program, or do you want to ask me... question.
Yeah, what happened to those girls, those annoying yentas, those Puerto Rican girls from Jersey City?
I don't know. I think they were, I think they all relocated.
All right.
Out of our listening area. Thanks
okay, Chris.
Me. Mike, once again, brings the program to a screaming, screeching halt. Now that he's living in Denville, he's totally unconnected. Anyway, let's get back into our conference. on the first Civil War sitcom. And I'm looking for a title for this thing. I'm looking for a cast of characters. I'm looking for some plot. I'm looking for a setting. We had Andersonville Prison suggested. And I want to get a feeling for what people are going to see. They sit down in front of their TV set. They turn on the TV set. They get a one-hour pilot. And boom, what's there? Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I've been waiting for Apu for about 10 minutes now. And, you know, where I come from, it's courtesy. It's common courtesy to, you know.
Okay, phone number, once again, 201-678-7743. You're listening to Aerial View on WFMU, Uppsala College. Buddy Epson would play the Southern Warden of Anderson Prison. And he needs a sidekick of some kind, a bumbling visual comedian. What's Bill Irwin doing? Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, you think you could work Tony Curtis into this thing?
Tony Curtis could be gotten real cheap.
You think so?
He would have to be. That's it. You just gave me a great idea. What if a troop from Brooklyn somehow got locked up in Andersonville Prison? And Tony Curtis is leading this group of, like, these toughs from Brooklyn. You know how they used to have gangs way back then?
I'm with you.
They had, the Irish gangs and so on?
Yeah.
Okay, so one of those gangs, they join up for the Civil War.
Hmm.
And they take a wrong turn somewhere down in Georgia, and they end up in Andersonville Prison. What do you think?
And they're always plotting how to get out.
They're always plotting how to get out. That's right.
Not a bad idea.
Well, I have to tip my hat to you because you are the person who got us thinking on that track.
Great, let's keep going.
Tony Curtis and the Brooklyn Boys. Okay, I like that. I like that very much. All right, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Great idea. Okay, well, we as you see are getting a little closer to an actual episode, the first episode ever of our Civil War sitcom that hasn't been named yet. Now, you know, all the glory is going to go to the person who names this thing. Glory, you can't use glory. It's already been used for a movie. Gettysburg, that's been a movie. North versus South, that just isn't punchy enough. I don't like it. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi,
the title needs a K in it. K's a good funny letter.
I don't mean to diverge from the subject.
Keepy. Keepy's got a K. How do you pronounce that? Is it Kepi or Keepy? K-E-P-I.
Keepy. But anyway.
The hat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, you want to diverge anyway, don't you?
Yeah. I've been listening, and a lot of idiots have been crank calling, which I think is pretty obnoxious. But anyway, how about you call in with your Civil War theme crank calls?
Civil War theme crank calls?
Mm-hmm. Like you could tell like Abraham Lincoln jokes and stuff, you know.
That's a great idea, sir. We'll have to do that.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're joining our Hollywood Hot Tub think tank. Jump in, make yourself comfortable.
Well, I feel pretty comfortable.
Don't
right
you wish
now.
I had the sound effects of bubbling water right now?
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
I'd really like to slip in a hot tub right now, but I have a very important predicament.
What's that, Bean?
Yeah.
Bean, you're not going to be here at 7 o'clock, are you?
No, I'm at the store. I wanted to know whether it was 7 or 7:30.
No, it's 7 o'clock that the Bill Berger program begins.
Well, then I'll be right. I'll just leave here and be right over.
Okay.
Do you have enough room in there for me?
Yes, Bean. Do
okay.
you want to add something to this program?
A little champagne.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. There you go. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I've got a name for the sitcom.
You got a name for the sitcom?
Yeah, Uncivil Quarters.
It doesn't do anything for me.
Doesn't do anything for you?
No.
Gotta go. The K, you know, the quarters with the K.
Yeah. You got to go back to the drawing board on that one, though.
Oh, okay.
Quarters, I don't know. You need something punchy. Punchy.
But Uncivil's got to be in there.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't have to be in there. No, there's a program called Civil Wars now. It's
I know.
A stupid divorce show.
Well, that's why you said it's got to be radically different yet similar to remind us of something.
Okay. I don't want civil in the title, though.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
I'll go back to the drawing board.
Bye. Hello, welcome to the Hollywood Hot Tub Think Tank of the Air.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, the delay is killing me. I'm not crazy about the prison idea because it kind of sounds to me like Hogan's Heroes or F Troop, you know, that sort of captive audience. And so my title would be Bull Run. And
Bull Run.
Yeah, like the Battle of Bull Run. It was a Civil War battle, and, you know, it's kind of got a body sound to it.
Okay.
And then what you could do is have, you know, the Southern Belles who are being raped and pillaged, and then the Confederate soldiers come and have to borrow all of their cooking pots and, you know, steal all their eggs and stuff, and then they get really excited because they're also attractive, but they're always worried about the constant threat of the Union forces coming and raping and pillaging them in some bad way.
But don't you think that this show has to... Don't you think that the sympathetic characters have to be the Northerners?
Yeah,
you
well, you could...
I mean, you know, fish out of water shows always work. Look at Northern Exposure.
Yeah, you betcha. Well, they could go and try and be really threatening, but then it would turn out that the Southern Belles that they're supposed to be dominating fall in love with them. And they keep, you know, they keep trying to be forceful soldiers and do their Brooklyn thing.
I'm writing down Southern Belles, but I'm chucking away the rest of your idea.
All right.
Okay?
Sure.
I have to be selective here. I am the producer.
Hey, it's your call.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm producing this piece of garbage. Hello, welcome to the air.
Title, Whistlin' Dixie.
Whistlin' Dixie. Ooh, I like it.
Good.
I like it.
You know, I'm trying to think of the actor's name.
Whistling Dixie.
Whistling Dixie. And then it would start, well, whistling it would start off or something, you know, I guess. but there's the actor, he used to be in Soap, that TV series.
He used to be in Soap.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of people used to be in Soap. Narrow it down.
I can't remember his name. He was pretending, he thought he was going crazy, he thought he was invisible or something. And he's always kind of crazy, and I could see him falling off his horse. Falling off his horse and, like, trying to pull the sword out and...
You're thinking of Ken Berry from F Troop. That's the opening credits sequence.
Maybe. Well, Whistlin' Dixie.
I love the title, though.
Okay.
I don't think anyone will come up with a better one.
I hope not.
So thanks for calling.
All right.
Wait a minute. That leads us into so many other ideas. What about just calling it Yankee Doodle? What do you think?
Hello, this is Rumpo. Is somebody looking for me?
What do you think about just calling it Yankee Doodle? You like Yankee Doodle or Whistlin' Dixie?
Yankee Doodle.
Yankee Doodle.
Yeah. So you want a title for a Civil War sitcom?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I heard the... how about this one? Start the commencement, because I heard that guy Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies, like his favorite word was commencement. Isn't that sort of like a Southern word? Commencement?
No.
The commencement. Oh.
Don't like it. Hate it. Hate it, as a matter of fact. Get out of my hot tub.
Oh.
Hello, welcome to the Hollywood Hot Tub Think Tank of the Air.
Hi there. I have no ideas. I never have any ideas, but the answer to the soap guy is Richard Mulligan, and I have to let you know that.
Well, thank you. Richard Mulligan did an excellent job as Custer in Little Big Man. And I think we can get Richard Mulligan. I think he's not doing anything. I think Richard Mulligan and Tony Curtis are a lock for this thing. And Larry Storch. Hello, welcome to the air. We need a hot, sexy guy, a young, hot, sexy guy for the ladies to tune in and see, though.
Well, basically, you got to out with Richard Mulligan.
No,
with
I like
Richard Mull.
I love Richard Mulligan. I think he's hilarious.
Come on, Richard Mull.
Well, what are you saying? We can't have both on the same program?
No, but one's got to be the stooge. You can't have two stooges on the same show.
Why not? What about the Bob Newhart show from a couple of seasons ago? They had three
stooges.
You're right.
Okay, both of them are in.
Okay.
And the show, Tony Curtis's name is going to be like, his last name will be Brooklyn. And
why?
You're going to call it Brooklyn's Blues.
No,
yeah.
No. Brooklyn,
I came up with the idea, yes.
Brooklyn Bridge bombed. Remember that show?
No, but this is called Brooklyn's Blues.
I don't like it. I hate it.
I love
Get
it.
Get out of my hot tub. 201-678-7743. I am the producer of this particular piece of garbage, so we need to make it, you know. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
I don't have a title, but how about this? How about if the Monkees... at least Peter Dolan's, was on the truck, and they were avoiding the draft, and they somehow ended up in Anderson Prison. And Leonard Nimoy could be the draft officer chasing them.
No, I think he's had too much to drink. Hello, welcome to the air.
By the way, I came up with the idea, and I'm suing you.
Okay, thank you. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris?
Yes.
Hi, I just ran to someone's house from my car, so I missed from when that woman first just called up.
Okay.
Who didn't like the prison.
Right.
Now, if you've got Tony Curtis in it and you've got the prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could call it civil disobedience, and one of the ways that you could get Tony Curtis and the boys from Brooklyn to try and get out of there is to dress in drag.
Oh, no.
Well, it's his favorite thing.
No, we modified the whole approach. You missed it because you weren't your radio, but I think we're moving it out of the prison back into the field. We're sticking with Tony Curtis as the Brooklyn-born leader of a troop of misfits,
right,
who have to make their way to Georgia, to Atlanta, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, they run into a lot of weird predicaments because they are fish out of water.
Gotcha.
And it's a fish out of water show. I mean, that's the premise of it, right?
Right.
Okay, so now you got these guys who are used to living in tenements in Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, it's 1860 whatever. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they're thrust into the middle of this rural sort of countryside. And they don't know the first thing about it. They don't know what to do when you get out and you're in a tent. Can't you picture the scenes of physical comedy as guys from Brooklyn try to set up a tent?
Yes.
Just think about it. But what leather jackets? There's no leather jackets.
No, he was joking with you.
Okay, so now I like the titles Whistling Dixie and Yankee Doodle.
Hmm.
So now we got to choose one of those titles, and we have to further the plot of the pilot episode. We're only working on the pilot here. So you think about it and call back.
Okay.
I feel like such a producer. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, Thomas. This is Matt. Do you know what history homework is?
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, Jim. Yes. You're finally home.
Yeah, I'm finally home.
So you get to help with our program.
Okay.
And
I just turned it on. So
how about I change your theme music? Because it wouldn't do to have the regular theme music for
you
this program.
You can play Civil War, oh Civil War, how wait I
minute,
love
Jim,
that
Jim.
Civil War.
That's too downbeat, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about...
makes me... that's right, like, that's Surrender at Appomattox music.
How about this?
Yeah.
Okay, Jim.
1863. Why don't you play Ashokan Farewell, or was that your?
We played that so many times during this program, but you know, for you, Jim.
Why don't you play Rally Round the Flag?
Okay. Let's see. Where is it? Anyway, are you going to help with our idea?
Okay. What do you need me to do?
Do you know what we're talking about?
You're doing a pilot for Tony Curtis in a fish out of water story where he's the.
It's a Civil War sitcom, Jim.
Civil War sitcom.
I hit on the best idea of my life. It's a Civil War sitcom.
Uh-huh.
What do you when I say the word Civil War sitcom to you, what's your visceral reaction? You go, yes. Yes.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like just before F Troop.
Yes. See,
yeah,
now,
it's like the story of, how did these guys get, what were these guys like before they started F Troop? It's taking it backwards from the beginning theme of F Troop, right?
Yeah.
The end of the Civil War was near. Well, in this one, it's not near.
That's right.
Okay.
It's the beginning of the Civil War.
Okay, no, the middle of the Civil War, because it's 1863, right?
Okay, the middle
Gettysburg?
Of the, well, you would know, I don't know.
Okay.
You're the Civil War, you know, authority of Hoboken.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to use that word, Jim.
All right.
So anyway, so now take us, first of all, what do you think of the two titles we've come up with?
Whistling Dixie.
And Yankee Doodle.
Whistling Dixie's better.
Okay. Now, you picture Tony Curtis. He's a tough, scrappy, older guy from Brooklyn.
Right.
He's got a band
Make
of misfits.
Make him from the Lower East Side, because Brooklyn wasn't Brooklyn back then.
Okay, the Lower East Side.
Okay, there
and,
you go.
And he's leading a group of basically gang members.
Right, and there were battalions in the Civil War that
oh,
were.
Oh, great! So now we have a historical basis
from the
for
Lower
our sitcom.
East Side, where you had to have a prison record in order to be accepted.
And these are guys that you know what the reason for them getting into the war in the first place is they're fleeing prison. They've broken out of prison in New York, and they've joined up so that they can hide in the army.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, this actually has a lot more historical truth than you know.
Because, this is great.
Because in the Civil War, when they instituted the draft, if you were a rich guy and you could pay $300, you could pay somebody $300 to pay $300 to get out of your draft.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make up the slack, a lot of places offered bounties.
Mm-hmm.
bounties, which is you join up and you get paid.
Okay.
You get like paid $100, $200. And a lot of guys, a lot of criminals would like join up again and again and again and join up and desert, join up and desert, join up and desert. So.
Okay, so we'll make that one of the running gags in the program.
Okay.
We'll have a character who's like the character from Murphy Brown, you know, the ever-changing secretary.
Okay.
And we'll have a guy that keeps reappearing, you know, who keeps joining up again. He keeps getting constricted, whatever they call it. Is that what they call it?
Drafted.
Drafted, okay. So, Jim, you're helping now because you're helping lend an historical underpinning.
I feel so important.
To our Civil War sitcom. Tony Curtis, his scrappy band.
Did you ever
find
the Gettysburg Address, by the way?
Yes, we had a man read it over the phone.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. So now we have Tony Curtis and a scrappy band of Lower East Side hoodlums. Hooligans who have just gotten out of prison or maybe are on their way to prison. And instead, he comes up with a brilliant idea, which is let's join the army. Okay, and hide.
Uh-huh.
We'll hide in the army. But little does he know that they're going to make him this troop leader or colonel. Whatever. What do you call those guys who lead troops?
I think colonel.
Colonel.
Yeah.
See, this is why you're...
actually lieutenant. Lieutenant.
This is why you're the historical
guy.
Well,
I don't know all that much about the rank system. So.
All right, Jim, we're having a story conference, so we don't have to get everything pinned
down. Okay, but go on.
Okay, so what happens?
Keep it rolling.
So what happens now? I mean, what happens next? They join the army, and then what happens?
Well, they have to do a lot of Hogan's Hero style things, where like they, you know, where they, you know, they'll like go behind enemy lines, and. And, you know, do real bad Southern accents and impersonate rebels and, like, you know, end up, like, you know, putting knockout drops in Robert E. Lee's mint julep and things like that.
I like it.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Who is the authority figure on this program? Who do you see as the stern father figure, the guy who doesn't like this Tony Curtis guy?
Well, basically,
he knows there's something wrong with
him.
It's Buddy Ebsen, isn't it?
What?
Oh, Buddy Ebsen's the guy from the South, though. Didn't we already agree to
that?
Well,
Buddy Ebsen is from the South.
He's the head of Andersonville.
He's the head of Andersonville Prison.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there Ken there?
Yeah. Yes, that's
Hi, Ken.
Ken's just joined us.
Well, let's see. Who would be a good...
You need somebody above Buddy Ebsen?
Well, you need...
No, because... You need like a colonel.
You need an authority figure. You need somebody who's
yeah. You need a colonel above him. I think a colonel is above a lieutenant, isn't he?
Yeah.
You
know how they always had those guys on F Troop that were visiting,
right?
The guys who were the real, you know, the guys who were didn't laugh at anything.
The guy
well,
behind
basically,
the guy.
The straight
you
man.
Need,
you need a straight man.
What you call it? Who is the
somebody
who is the guy above McHale?
The guy above McHale? I don't know
McHale's
that.
McHale's Navy.
I have no idea.
The general, actually,
well, why couldn't we get Ernest Borgnine? He's still alive.
No, because Ernest Borgnine would be too much the Tony Curtis character.
You're right, but why couldn't Ernest Borgnine be the cook?
Ernest Borgnine could be the cook.
In Tony Curtis's troop.
I would say get John Candy as the cook.
John Candy's Canadian, though. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. John Candy plays Americans all the time.
Yeah, not successfully, though.
Who could you get as the... who's that guy on Saturday... The fat, intense guy on Saturday Night Live?
I don't know, but let's
That's
just refer to him that way.
Yeah.
What?
That's
we'll
his
just,
name.
We'll just... I think we could find his agent, I think, and just refer to him that
okay.
way.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, well, let's not get... you know, log jammed on this on who the actor is.
But I don't care.
We need a kind of a uptight 40 to 50 year old character actor to play the guy above Tony Curtis, right?
Right.
And I missed the whole Tony Curtis thing, but do you have like a profiteer character, like the guy, like John Voight in Catch 22?
No, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, you need.
I want to add that.
You need somebody
we
who's going to be
put
like
together.
You need a Doberman character.
Was that his name?
No, I mean Doberman in Sergeant Bilko.
Uh-huh.
And you need the character like Ballantyne in McHale's Navy, the real schemer. Like
Tim Conway's available, I'm sure.
He's too old for this.
So who do you see as the band of misfits? You see a profiteer. Ken says a profiteer.
Yeah, a profiteer.
Then they make a deal with Sherman. I mean, there's big yucks to be had with Sherman's march.
I think a light-colored black
get these
guy
guys on Sherman's march.
What do you think, Jim? A light-colored black guy who's passing for white. Just think of the comic possibilities.
No, better yet, because that wouldn't.
Yeah, you have a guy who's trying to escape by changing his race.
Right.
Like Klinger.
Oh, that's a possibility.
Yeah, like Klinger is trying to become a woman.
Uh huh.
You have some guy who's trying to somehow like get in and out of Andersonville to profiteer, obviously, by like you know changing in and out of being a slave or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Or
They sneak off Andersonville at night to go make deals with Sherman's troops.
They sneak off Andersonville. But Andersonville, the problem with Andersonville is that, you know, a real German prison camp might have borne a slight resemblance to Stalag 17, but Andersonville was more like Auschwitz.
Oh, okay.
Okay? It wasn't a funny place.
Well,
I'm sure real POW camps weren't funny places either.
Jim,
they were!
We're setting out to change all of that. Don't you see?
Are you saying Bob Crane lied to us?
No, not really, Jim, but
I want to assemble
wasn't quite that much fun.
I want to assemble our group of ragtag misfits. And
well,
from here on in,
you
want
to phones open to these people?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going back downstairs.
Okay, thanks, Ken, for joining us.
Okay.
Ken Friedman adding the profiteer angle to the ragtag group of misfits. Thanks for calling, Jim.
Okay, great.
And listen to the rest of the program and tell us immediately if anything is historically inaccurate. Just
will
call
do.
Up and let us know. Thanks.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but the hip slang for anything cool or impressive in the Civil War.
What?
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
Hey, wow, that updates so easily.
Okay.
Thanks.
See ya.
It's a big thing. Hello, welcome to the air.
How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. The main character is going to be Michael Richards.
Michael Richards Kramer?
There you go.
No, you wouldn't get him away from Seinfeld.
Wait, no, but listen to the whole thing, okay? Call it Kramer's Cronies, right? Now, here's what happens. During the Civil War...
I hate it. Get out of my hot tub. Hello, welcome to the air.
Okay, to start off, that actor that you're referring to before is Chris Farley. And anyway...
Chris Farley.
I got a big thing addition.
Okay.
Okay. They're sitting in the prison and they're thinking, you know, what the heck are we doing here? Let's start a baseball team or a softball team. So it's prisoners against guards, and let's say Soupy Sales is the coach, and it's like this big rebellion.
Oh, you're trying to make a joke out of this now. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
Hi.
Turn your radio down.
Great. One small addition is you should have Hal Holbrook guest starring every once in a while, not in every episode, just every once in a while, as Abraham Lincoln.
Hal Holbrook as Abe.
Yes.
Okay.
And Alfred Woodard as some sort of radical slave who's, working the Underground Railroad.
Okay.
That's it.
Do you think that Abraham Lincoln should be a bumbling Abraham Lincoln and actually it's Mary Lincoln that does all his thinking for him?
Well,
wouldn't that be a funny twist?
No, it depends on the rest of the characters. If you already have, like, a strong leader figure,
uh-huh.
Yeah, you should make him kind of bumbling. But you could also make him...
Just picture a Lincoln that's always saying, Mary, where's my hat?
Or
something like that.
Or where's my wart?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Or, he's obsessed with his beard. and everything else can fall by the wayside, but if his beard doesn't look right, he won't go out.
Well, another thing is, in real life, Abraham Lincoln was a manic depressive.
Really?
And you could add that to his character. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's Laugh Riot City right there.
That's right there. Okay. Yeah. But what do you think of the two titles, Yankee Doodle or Whistling Dixie?
Whistling Dixie. That's great.
Whistling Dixie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the theme song should be, not necessarily, well, yeah, it could be like an updated like rap version of the actual song.
Uh-huh.
With really upbeat lyrics, you know?
Because
all those sitcom theme songs always have really upbeat lyrics about how, oh, we're gonna live for today, and we're gonna love, and all this kind of stuff. So
well, you want
something really upbeat.
I'll leave it up to you to write the upbeat theme to Whistlin' Dixie, if you
I
like.
I will. I'll
okay.
call in next week.
All right. And you know who I see recording it?
Who?
If we could just get her? Sister Soulja. What do you think? And maybe she can guest star on the program, too.
Yeah, when she sells out, that'll be great.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Somebody else wants to say something.
All right. Any more additions to our Civil War sitcom?
You need a female character like Marianne in Gilligan's Island.
A female character like
Marianne. Girl figure.
Okay.
That's all my additions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling.
You know, I really see Shari Belafonte in this somehow. I don't know how, but I see her being worked into this. And if you could find a way, boy.
Hello, welcome to the air.
I also have an idea for a sitcom.
No. We're
working on our idea,
not your idea. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Pat Harrington. He'll be like the whiz who can fix everything.
Now, Pat Harrington, who was he now?
Schneider.
Oh, that's right, yes, okay.
And you have to have Big Al from Happy Days as sort of the cook.
No, we got the cook. The cook is Ernie Borgnine.
But he's about to die, and he's not that funny.
He's very funny. What do you mean he's not that funny?
One other...
How could you say that on my program? Whew. Okay, the phone number here is 201-678-7743. Let me tell you what we have assembled here so far together. The program, the sitcom, is called Whistlin' Dixie. It involves a ragtag group of Lower East Side misfits led by Tony Curtis who are escaping prison or escaping going to prison by joining the Army of the North. And the pilot involves their coming up against army life and living out in the wilds of America because they're not used to it at all, see. And in this ragtag group of misfits led by Tony Curtis, we have possibly Ernie Borgnine. I would like to see I would also like to see Larry Storch in there. Someone mentioned Richard Mulligan and Richard Mole, and I think we need some young guys in there. You need some sex appeal for this program. River Phoenix is dead. Let me see. You'd have to come up with somebody whose career is on the skids, like a Corey. Any one of the Coreys would do, actually. And in this group of ragtag misfits, we have a profiteer, somebody who's selling all of the supplies, a la John Voight's character in Catch-22. We have a light-colored black man who is passing for white. And, boy, the comic possibilities abound. Why can't we make the light-colored black man Shari Belafonte? And she's actually a light-colored black woman who's not only passing for white, but she's passing for a man. Now, if that doesn't double the comic possibilities, I don't know what would. Hal Holbrook shows up every once in a while as Abe Lincoln, but he's obsessed with his hat and beard. And Mary Todd Lincoln does all the thinking. She's the thinking Lincoln. We also have a suggestion here of Pat Harrington as the wizard of the group, the guy who could fix anything. Throw in some Southern bells, some old-timey Civil War music, maybe a guest appearance by Tom Waits, and I think you really are onto something. I think we could sell this. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I have one vote for Whistling Dixie as the theme song.
Okay.
And I wanted to make one comment. The Dirty Dozen, you know, instead of Hogan's Heroes.
Okay, you want to see that used as the underpinning?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And one question, Shari Belafonte, with the long hair or the short hair?
Short hair.
Yeah, okay.
Lower her voice a few octaves.
Okay.
She goes around talking like this, "Hi, guys, yeah. I'd like to join the Army, too."
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the air.
I got an addition for the ragtag team below Tony Curtis.
Okay.
You're looking for a has-been actor.
Has-been actor.
Or someone
like
on the skids.
Okay.
Okay, so they're going down.
What about a comic alcoholic?
I got the perfect one.
Foster Brooks. He's still alive.
That's good, but not as good as the one I had. So you're walking down, bump, 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 and it's Andrew McCarthy, right?
Oh, okay.
Touch Bombs is Weekend at Bernie's. And so
okay.
He's sitting there, and he goes, bam! And Tony Curtis goes, what? He goes, I said BAMF, and he doesn't understand him, and Andrew McCarthy has started this totally different language, and there's miscommunication amongst the ragtag group, and that really...
The what? The
group, the ragtag, whatever, and that kind of there's no communication, so they're at a standstill. They can't go forwards because he's speaking Banff, and Tony Curtis, the leader, can't lead the people. So it's kind of like a historic march to freedom. You know, they're about to, you know, cross the Delaware River, but he doesn't understand Banff. He can't tell his soldiers how to get across the river. So there's miscommunication because of Andrew McCarthy.
Are you quite through now?
More or less.
Thank you. Sometimes you got to let them hang in their own rope. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris. I have a couple suggestions for, like, reoccurring cast members. One of them would be Dave Alvin of the Blasters.
Wow, what would Dave Alvin do on this program?
Well, you know, he sang a song on one of his solo albums about Andersonville. And we could use that as the theme song. It's really depressing, and it's really, like, yeah. And that way you could put everybody in a bad frame of mind, and then all of a sudden the jokes come out and everybody's laughing. It
okay.
would work.
Well,
and then we could cast Martin Scorsese in a reoccurring role as a photographer, sort of like Matthew
Brady.
Right?
I like
or,
the photographer angle.
What's that?
I like the photographer angle. I like it.
Yeah, you could come
Great
around
angle.
Every so often and take pictures as the camp went from sparsely populated to massively overpopulated.
And every time he shows up, everyone gets really ticked off because they know that they're going to have to sit there and stand still for like 3 minutes.
Exactly, and they're all too weak to do
and
that.
And they hate seeing him. Every time he shows up, it's like, let's call him Feldman. Just so that when he shows up, people can go, Feldman. You know? And they can't stand seeing him there. What
uh-huh.
do you think? Great, huh? Great?
Definitely.
I'm the idea guy. That's why I'm the idea guy.
That's why you're the idea guy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Give me a little bit to run with. Hello, welcome to the air.
How about Crispin Glover in there someplace?
Oh, I would love to get Crispin Glover for this thing. I mean, he would have to be like the wacky southern aristocrat
what
who...
What if he played it totally straight?
Totally straight? Nah. Would it work totally straight?
Wouldn't that be funny? Because we'd be expecting him to explode at any moment. But
no, you don't know what's funny.
How about Flea?
Flea, we can get Flea, yes. We can get all of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. and they would come on and do a musical number, just like when those bands would show up on F Troop.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Did that ever happen?
Yeah, take it totally out of context. All of a sudden, you got these guys who are dressed up in Civil War gear, and they have instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And they plug them into a tree or something. And they begin to play.
You're getting crazy.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, we're nearing the end of our program. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, I have a suggestion you mentioned before about a young, kind of brash character. How about Scott Baio? And every week he falls in love with like a different Southern belle along the way, a little sappy love interest kind of thing, sort of counteracting his, you know, tough guy image that he tries to project all the time.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
Think it works?
Yes, I love
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
I'm running with it right now. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yes, I think we should add Cher as the sexy Indian guide to guide these knaves through the woods.
You never get her to do it, but it's a great idea. Thanks for calling.
Great.
We're going to have to end it right there and tell you that coming up next, filling in for William Berger, the Vanilla Bean, and I guess Bill will be back next week, and we have put together a mighty fine Civil War sitcom that we like to call Whistlin' Dixie, and be looking for it sometime in 1994. We'll take one more call, and then we'll go. Hello, welcome to the air. It better be a good call, too.
Yeah, I have an idea for an episode. What you could do, you know, you could have a lot of people, like, I don't know, deadlocked somewhere, you know, stuck in the...
Where's your parents?
Excuse me?
Where are your parents?
What?
I asked him where his parents were. Okay, we got to go now. Thanks. Goodbye.